This conference will now be recorded.
So this is GovDelivery training from the perspective of a group or a topic administrator, two of the most common roles in the GovDelivery software. You guys will all be set up at that level. Some of the key functions of a group or topic administrator are, of course, logging into the system, the ability to upload email addresses to topics for which you're assigned, create and send bulletins out to your topic subscribers. So you can really do a lot of the core and important functions within the software from this role. I've set myself up as a group administrator with access to topics for parks and recreation. So we're going to log in. We're only going to see that stuff. But you guys from the various departments will log in, and it will be similar, except you'll see your things. So there wasn't a great way to, assign access everywhere. Otherwise, I'd view everything, which we don't want to do on this training. So again, it'll be from the perspective. Apologies for that. I muted myself for a brief second. So we're going to go ahead and log in. Again, this will be from the perspective of a group administrator for Parks and Recreation. I have a couple other tabs here that I have open that I wanted to just show briefly. So this is the subscribe overlay for Parks and Recreation. If we enter our email address, we'll kind of go through the perspective of a subscriber. And sometimes I think it's helpful to see this workflow just to kind of give you, a sense of what a subscriber sees and how it relates to the admin portal, in which you guys will see and log into in a second. So enter my email address there and have the ability to select from topics for Parks and Recreation. I can go ahead and sign up for multiple if I want. I'm shown some optional questions here that I can fill out if I'd like. And we will now be subscribed to those topics. And then after that, we're shown some other GovDelivery accounts that are either similar in geography to the subscriber or to the account. So we haven't fully set this up yet, so it's showing things that it thinks are close to me, which are things here in Iowa, even though I'm in Minnesota. So you could sign up for additional accounts if you'd like, or you can simply close out of that. So now, me as a subscriber, I am subscribed to two topics for Parks and Recreation, and we'll see that when we log into the account here. The GovDelivery account is a cloud-based software, so to access your account, all you'll need to do is have a good internet connection and a good browser and navigate to this URL up at the top, which is admin.govdelivery.com. If you ever forget this, you can simply Google GovDelivery login and it will come up with this page. We'll set you up with your work email address here for your username. You'll have the ability to pick a password. If you ever forget your password, there is a reset my password option here on this page. So you can go ahead and sign in. And we'll be signing into the Clark County account, which has multiple departments. But with the setup we have here, we are going to just see things that belong to us or Parks and Recreation in this case. So you guys will all log in and you should see just your topics and just your templates and subscribers and things like that. So it is a shared environment, but it has the nice ability to kind of separate things out. Here in the middle of the screen, we have what we call the dashboard. So on this dashboard, you might see from time to time announcements posted, and these announcements could come from our Granicus internal team, or they could come from your account administrators. So people like Susie could potentially post an announcement here just with some, you know, reminders or suggestions, and that would be seen by you guys who are logging in as administrators. So again, announcements on the dashboard can come from Granicus or your account administrators. Along the left-hand side of the screen here, we have kind of our main navigation menu. We'll look at some of these different items in just a bit. I think the most important ones to remember that we'll look at are bulletins and then topics. So bulletins are the things you guys create and send out. Topics are your basically lists of email addresses. So kind of similar to a distribution list, but again, we call them topics here in the software. In the upper right corner over here, we have a link to our customer support portal, which opens an online knowledge base of articles and also has the ability to contact our customer support team if you have questions. But for the time being, any questions that you guys might have can come to Zach or I or Susie. And then, you know, in the future, you guys will be able to contact support once this implementation period is complete. So here you can find articles about GovDelivery. Lots of things are linked together. You can also search and then contact support as well. And to the right of that support link, we have a drop-down with the name of the individual logging in. It will show the account name here up at the top. It will show your administrative role, so either a group or a topic administrator, and then access to kind of your login profile. Here you have just a couple of fields that are required, and the rest of the fields are optional for you. The GovDelivery logo in the upper left-hand corner over here kind of acts as a home button. So if you want to just kind of reorient yourself, you can click on that and be brought back to this dashboard view or the home screen. Again, we're going to work on the left-hand side menu here. This is our main menu. Bulletins we'll look at in just a minute, but again, those are the distributions that you create and send out. Kind of could be thought of like newsletters or press releases, but because they can also go out via text message or posted to social media or hosted on a web URL, we call them bulletins here in the account because they can go out those multiple different channels, not just email. And then topics. Topics is where we'll start because that's kind of, I think, the building blocks for the account. Again, it's where your email addresses are stored, and it's what you send a bulletin to. So here, we're logged in as a group administrator with access to topics for Parks and Recreation. They have two topics in the account. We can see the topic name here. We can see the number of email addresses or phone numbers subscribed here. So Parks shared with me some of their distribution lists via SharePoint, and I helped upload those for them. So this topic does have all of those subscribers in it. The account is live and you know, ready for use, but before that, I would recommend some testing, and we'll walk through how you can do a little bit of testing. The visibility, this column here, relates to whether the public can see a topic and sign up for it. So because these two topics are both listed, they showed up to me as the subscriber when I demonstrated that overlay. You can also have topics that are unlisted. So you could have things like an unlisted topic for maybe a media-only topic. You don't want the general public signing up for it. You could have a public press release topic, but you could have an unlisted media-only topic. So there, you would manually upload email addresses to that unlisted topic, and you can send to it just the same. Just means the public can't sign up for it if it's unlisted. To the right of that visibility column, we have a couple of columns related to an automation feature called PageWatch. So PageWatch can be set up for a topic to monitor a URL, and if it sees a change on that URL, it can automatically draft and, if you want, automatically send out a bulletin to that topic. So we're not using it now, but it is something that can be explored or implemented at any time. If we click on a topic name here, it will kind of give us the ability to work with that topic directly instead of just kind of viewing it as we were. The ability to edit a topic or create a new topic is limited to group administrators. So group administrators can edit or create a new topic. Topic administrators can't create or edit a existing topic. They can't create a new one, but they can manually upload subscribers to a topic, and they can, you know, perform the important functions of sending bulletins to that topic. So if you are a topic administrator, you can do just about everything that we're going to see today, except the ability to edit this topic, which most of the time you probably don't, you know, need to do or have performed. But when you're looking at a topic, the name field here is an internal facing name field. So with this large account, we're trying to follow a naming convention before each topic name, so that when people like Susie or our customer support team log into this growing and big Clark County account and they view topics, they're not going to see just the two related to Parks and Recreation. They're going to see multiple topics across multiple departments. So having this naming convention in front of the topic name for this field, this internal name field, is really helpful. The short name, it's less important here and shouldn't be used, because this short name field is the one that is displayed to the public. So having parks in front of it or that naming convention, not necessary. The description box here, this is not required, but you can put information in here that will show up as a little lowercase I in a blue circle next to a topic name on the sign up page. And so you could put something in here like sign up for parks events, you know, receive 1 to 2 newsletters per month or 1 to 2 press releases per week or something like that. Just helpful information for your subscriber. The topic code is automatically generated by the system and should be left alone. Here again, we have the visibility that you can toggle. Wireless alerts is a toggle, yes, no. This means you have the ability to allow people to sign up with a cell phone number if it is set to yes. So subscribers could enter their cell phone number and receive text messages instead of emails if wireless alerts is set to yes.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
On that one, I think in our contract, we're kind of limited on the number of text messages, right?
Yes, each contract is kind of standard.
Yeah, so just for the departments, be careful about which ones are set up for text messages, especially if it's something that has a large number of subscribers.
Yep, that's a great point. Do be mindful of that. And then the page watch settings, again, I mentioned before page watch being an automation feature that can be set up to monitor changes and send out bulletins. On the right-hand side, so we've opened up this topic. Again, it's Parks Events topic. And on the right-hand side, we get a menu that is specific to this topic. Along this right-hand menu, there are a couple things I want to highlight, starting with subscribers. So this is where you can view and upload subscribers for this topic. So if you have a list of email addresses, this is how you would want to upload them. Clicking on topics on the left, selecting your topic from the middle, and then selecting subscribers on the right. From here, you can add subscribers either entering their email address in this window, or you can upload via a file right here. If you upload via a file, it does have to be saved as a CSV file, and it also has to kind of be formatted And here I'm pulling open an example. It has to kind of be formatted like this with the word email or email address or destination up at the top, cell A1, and then your email addresses and or phone numbers in a column below that. If you, and then as I mentioned, saved as a CSV file, so only CSVs. If you do have email addresses in a nice column like that, you can actually just copy that entire column, even if it's thousands, and come here and just paste it into this Add Subscribers window. And then scrolling down, you have a blue Save button here at the bottom of the screen. Once you hit that Save button, it will process in the background, and then you'll receive an email letting you know how your subscriber import went. If there are things like duplicates, you'll have that noted in your email that you get back saying, you know, so many duplicates were ignored. So you don't have to worry about duplicates. It will dedupe them. Things like invalid entries, so something without a ending or something without an at symbol, those would be ignored as well. If you want to view subscribers for a topic, you do have to hit this blue search button up here in the rightish corner. So hitting that search button will return the email addresses that are currently subscribed to that topic. Most of the time, subscribers can unsubscribe or remove themselves. But if you need to remove somebody from a topic, you can use that checkbox and delete them. So this uploading of subscribers and managing subscribers on a topic, this is something that can be done by both group and topic administrators. So an important thing that you guys have the ability to do on your own. Are there any questions about how to upload subscribers? Again, clicking on topics on the left and then selecting your desired topic, clicking on that name, and then clicking on subscribers on the right is how you have the ability to upload or manage the existing subscribers here. I will briefly here walk through creating a new topic, just so folks who will be group administrators see that briefly. Clicking the blue Create Topic button is going to open the general settings for a new topic. You can see things are blank here. We'll just do this very briefly and then move on. There are a couple important steps when creating a new topic. Again, trying to follow that kind of naming convention. And we'll just call this test topic because we'll use it for a little bit of testing. It's not required, that naming convention, for the short name because that's the public-facing name and the other one is internal. Description not required. I'm going to change the visibility to unlisted here. And we'll keep, actually for this test topic, I'm going to say wireless alerts enabled, yes. And then page watch. You can save page watch with this set to yes. It's not actually watching a URL here, so it's not going to do anything. Or you can move it to no if you're not using PageWatch. We'll hit save, and this next step is important. Up at the top, it will say a green check mark. The topic was created. That's great. But now with this yellow exclamation point, it's also telling me that I need to add the topic to a category. And this is the important step I wanted to highlight. Here, it's showing the four different categories we currently have set up for the Clark County account. And you need to assign your new topic to a category. You need to do this for a couple of reasons. One, it helps keep the account a little bit more orderly. So even if you have, you know, an unlisted topic, you should, or a test topic, you should still assign it to a category. It will show you all of the categories or all of the departments across the account. You'll just need to find yours, so in this case parks, and hit save here. adding a topic to a category also determines whether it will show up to the public signing up. So I made this topic unlisted so it wouldn't show up anyway. But if you had a listed topic and did not assign it to a category, it would not show up to the public. So assigning a new topic to a category is really important. And for my test topic here, I'm going to just really quickly upload a cell phone number just so I can demonstrate the sending of a bulletin to a topic with a cell phone subscriber. Okay. So that's an overview of topics. Managing subscribers is done on the topic level. Group administrators have the ability to create a new topic. If you're doing that, assign it to a category and try and follow that naming convention. Any questions so far? Next, we're going to spend a few minutes looking at templates. So templates are the building blocks for your bulletins. So the bulletin up at the top here that we'll look at after templates is what you send out. The template is your starting point. So if I click on templates here on the left, I'm shown a couple of templates that are account-wide, and then I'm also shown templates that are unique or assigned to the parks topics. From here, I can create a new template up at the top. Opening this template builder, you can see kind of a brief demonstration GIF here. With that, you can bring in sections to start creating your template. One nice way, I think, to create a template instead of starting at ground zero where, you know, it's kind of a blank slate, I think it's nice to potentially copy a template. So here you have the copy template button. I'm going to pause for just a moment. All right, thanks for your patience, the joys of working from home here. So instead of starting with a blank slate and creating a template from scratch, I think it's nice to be able to copy a template. That way you're keeping your original intact while making modifications that kind of use some of the elements that are set up in a template. So if I hit the copy template button, it will open up this newsletter style template, but in a copied version. Here you can see we have different elements, things like a banner, so it pulls that in, the different types of stories, the different type of content blocks here. So we have like an image plus a text block. We have just text blocks down here, section dividers. So it pulls all this in from the copy. And then with the template name here, it simply puts the word copy at the end of it. So you could start with this newsletter template. You could add additional content block or a different section if you wanted. And this is going to kind of help build the look and feel of your template. So maybe you want to start with a newsletter, but then you want to add additional sections or remove some sections. This is going to help you create a new template kind of based on that original. With the themes tab over here on the far right, you have the ability to control things like background colors and fonts and font colors. So this themes tab and the ability to control those elements is only available on a template. So again, with the template, it's kind of your starting point. With the bulletin, you don't have the ability to modify background colors or modify what's set for different elements like the fonts. You cannot do that on a bulletin, but you can here on the template. So if there are things you like about your template, create a copy and then make modifications from there. You can add things, remove things, modify colors, but these are all kind of set up based on those county-wide or county-approved templates. Here we have a tab for controlling which topics a template is assigned to. So I can click on that Assign Topics tab, and it will show me my topics or my parks topics in this case. And we can control, maybe you have an administrator in parks that only works with one topic. They might log in, and maybe they want a template that's unique to their one topic, maybe a template that's unique to events. So you could create that topic and then assign it to only that events topic if you need to or would like to. Up at the top here, we have our from address. So with a template, you can control which from address or sending email address is tied to that top to that template. So in this case, we've tied the parks from address to their topic, so they don't have to select that from address when they're creating a bulletin. Next, we'll look at creating a bulletin. I'm going to delete this copy of this template that I've made here. Although I will ask if there are any questions about working with a template or, some of the different elements here that we have, content blocks, sections, and themes. Anything in there you'd like me to explain more or go over a little bit more?
I guess we're all good.
Okay, good. And if you have questions offline, you can, direct them or share them with us. I'm going to click on that GovDelivery logo in the upper left here and be brought kind of back to the home screen. And now we're going to click on bulletins in the upper left. From here, we're going to be shown two different create bulletin buttons, and then we're going to see, different statuses of bulletins down below that here with these different tabs. So at first, it's showing us any draft bulletins that have been created by me that have not been sent out yet. If you have a coworker that's created a draft bulletin and you want to see it, it needs to be saved with a audience or a topic selected that you both have access to. So for example, at this point in time, Stacy, who will also be a parks administrator, she could not log in and see my draft of my, maybe newsletter or press release here because it wasn't saved with any recipients selected. So when we're looking at creating a bulletin, you'll see the second step is selecting an audience or selecting a topic. And that would need to be done, and then the draft would have to be saved in order for a coworker who has access to that topic to be able to see it. To the right of these user drafts, we would have any page watch drafts. Here with the sent tab is where you could find basically a record of all of the bulletins that you have sent out to the topics you work with. So this will, you know, grow and change over time, of course, the sent bulletins. Right now there are none. All of these different tabs, sent, drafts, they default to just showing you 1 week, the last week at a time. This, I just like to point out because it can trip me up, and sometimes it still does, where I'll come in, I'll look for a draft that I've created, I don't see it, and then I have to remind myself, oh yeah, maybe that draft was, you know, created last month or even beyond last month. So you can expand that. You do have the ability to schedule a bulletin to go out. So when we're creating our advanced bulletin, at the end, of course, there's the send button. If you don't want to send right then, or you know want it to go out on a Saturday or something like that, you can change that send button to a schedule button. And if you did that, the bulletin would then kind of exist in this tab until the scheduled date and time comes and goes. The sharing tab here gives you the ability to view web page versions of your bulletin. So when you send out a bulletin, most often a web page version of it is created. And here on this sharing tab, you will be able to modify a web page version if you need to, if you maybe see something that needs to be changed. And you can also find the URL for that web page version. So that, you know, could be posted on a website, that URL, or kind of shared on social media or something like that if you'd like. Archived, held, these two won't be used by this account. They're from a older version of Guff Delivery. And then, you know, when accounts on that older version were brought to the new version, they might have things here, but you guys won't. In the future, we'll talk about campaigns. That's an advanced kind of marketing feature that you guys do have access to. And we're not going to cover it here today, but we will at a later session. So there you would find any bulletins that are used by kind of those automated marketing campaigns. So that's an overview of these different tabs here on the bulletins button or bulletins menu option here on the left. The two create bulletin buttons, so how you would start your email or newsletter, press release, whatever you want to call it or think of it like, you have two different options here. I recommend the create advanced bulletin button for a few reasons. One, that's tied to the templates that we have created for each group. So it will start your bulletin or your email with kind of a nice looking branded, you know, stylized template. And it also uses the drag and drop content blocks. The create bulletin button is kind of a, what you see is what you get, really straightforward editor. It doesn't start with your unique template. It doesn't start with any branding. And it doesn't use the drag and drop content blocks to build it. So for those reasons, I recommend the advanced bulletin. But if you are somebody who likes to work directly with maybe HTML code or CSS, you could potentially explore this option, the create bulletin. I can click on it briefly and show you. Here is the body of your message. You can see it's very blank, but using the source code button to the right of this little preview button, you do have the ability to, you know, work directly with that code if that's something you have experience or like doing. Up at the top is where you would select your audience. So that opens up these categories, and then it would show your topics or your distribution lists here. And then way down at the bottom are some options to save as a draft, send a test, preview, And here's the send now button to the right. It's kind of grayed out because we haven't selected a topic up at the top. These other items we'll cover in the advanced bulletin. I just wanted to show what this looks like. So again, it doesn't use the drag and drop content blocks, and it doesn't start with your nice templates. Clicking on Create Advanced Bulletin is going to give us the option to pick from a few different templates for which we have access to. So you can see we have templates set up here. The newsletter, kind of county base up at the top, county base. We have one for parks. We have kind of an announcement press release style. You'll just want to pick the one with the name that most fits your needs. You can preview a template. Clicking that button, it's just kind of a brief pop out of what that template would look like. You can see there, or you can say use this template. So I'm going to go ahead and say use this parks announcement slash press release style template. It's going to bring me into the bulletin editor here. You can see it looks sort of similar to the template creation, except it doesn't have the ability to add sections, nor does it have the ability to work with the themes, so things like the background color or things like the font sizes. You can, however, add additional content blocks if you need to. So this is starting off as kind of a small announcement style template. You could potentially, you know, remove elements to make it look like a press release or something. Again, up at the top, it starts with Parks and Rec from address. So that's a nice way to begin your bulletin. You do have an autosave feature that's turned on. So this is saving my work roughly every minute. Otherwise, there's a save and next button when you're ready to go to this next step. As you're working, you have the ability to send a test. Definitely a helpful tool. I would recommend using that as you're working. It will add your email address with which you're logged in with automatically. You can also add additional email addresses simply by typing or pasting in here. So maybe you have some coworkers you want to send a test of your bulletin to. You know, maybe you have a couple different email addresses, a Gmail, a Yahoo, something like that. You could enter those here and send a test of your bulletin out. A subject line is required to send a test. So trying this now will tell me up at the top the subject is required. And then a quick preview button, kind of similar to previewing the template, just a quick pop out. You can delete your bulletin if you're no longer needing it. We'll enter a brief subject line there just for testing. The pre-header below that is not required, but it can be helpful for your readers or your subscribers. It's kind of seen as like an extension of the subject line. The different elements down below here, some of the sections, are locked. So up at the top, you could not delete like this banner or header section. It's locked. You could potentially delete the text there. So that's an individual content block. You could delete that, but the section is locked on the template level. This section is not locked, so it contains this nice hero image. You could delete that whole section if you wanted something that was just a header and text. And then the body section is also locked. But again, you can delete the content blocks within a section here. So clicking on these different content blocks gives me the trash can icon in the lower right. I could delete that from here. The button here is an image. So that's actually, if I bring over an image block, you can see the placeholder for an image is kind of this large gray square. But choosing a photo or uploading a photo will, you know, resize that big gray placeholder to the size of the image. So for example, I could grab this more rectangular image, and you'll see there it changes to whatever the size of the upload was. You can shrink an image down, but you can't make it bigger than the original upload. So that image, I think, was 500 pixels wide. This bulletin is about 600 pixels wide. I can't make this image 600 pixels wide because it was only 500 when uploaded. So if you're uploading an image, I would recommend, doing so at a little bit larger size, maybe that full width, 600 pixels. You'll always be able to shrink it down in the lower right corner here, but you can't make it bigger than the original upload. When you bring over an image, you do have the ability to link that image to a URL. So with that, you'll get reporting, link tracking, click tracking. So you could link the image to something on your website. You could also link your button here to something on your website, so people are clicking there, reading the full story. And with that, you're going to get reporting, which is helpful. You can also link text, of course. So bringing over just a plain text block here, dropping it in, clicking on it, and highlighting it. And then here with the text editor is this chain link icon. So this gives you the ability to simply link text. So linking text, linking images, great way to get more data on your subscribers or your recipients. A couple of additional content blocks I want to highlight here before we move on. The image plus a text block, if you bring that over, I'm going to copy this placeholder text. If we put in a little bit longer text below the image here, you have the ability to use text wrapping. That should always be done with an image plus a text block. So you can see it's going to make it look a little bit neater, but it's also going to help with responsiveness. So if somebody's viewing this on a cell phone, it's going to help the image stack on top of the text if they're looking at it on a cell phone. Clicking on the image again, and in the lower left corner is the ability to link that image in the image plus text block. If you're linking text in the image plus text block, again here in the text editor is that chain link icon that will give you the ability to link text in that content block. I'm going to say choose and upload a photo. So there are images that are in the account. This is kind of an account-wide image library. You can do things like, say, created by me, and it'll show you images that were uploaded by you. You can also sort in different ways or search by name. To the right of these tabs up at the top, we have the upload image tab. So if you don't have an image in that library already, you can click upload image, and from there, select a file from your computer to upload here. The name is required because you can see here it's used for alt text. Somebody has a screen reader or something like that. So important to use a good name, and you can also search by that name for the image. If you're only going to use your image maybe one time, there is this library called Only for This Bulletin. But if you think it's something you might use again, there is the account-wide library called Everywhere. So you could then choose your file and upload the image to that library. Whether linking an image, linking text, linking a button, you do have the ability to link to a file. So this was a question that was asked, and I want to kind of point it out because it is a cool use. So instead of attaching something as a physical attachment and trying to send it via email and, hoping that it doesn't get caught in a junk folder or seen as spam, you can upload an attachment to GovDelivery and then link to that attachment in your outgoing bulletin. So it's not sending as a physical attachment, it's sending as a linked attachment. And what's cool about that, you might have a better delivery rate, but you're also going to have the ability with that to see who's clicking on that link. If you're sending, you know, just a regular physical attachment, you're not going to really know if people are opening that in their inboxes or opening that attachment. So I removed the attachment for this button, or removed the link. And if I hit that link button again, you can see here we can, you know, link to different things like an email, an anchor. A macro is something that can auto-populate. So like dear first name would auto-populate. But here we have a files tab. So from here, I could upload a file and then go ahead and link to it. And it'll bring you to your computer. You can search and then link to that file. So kind of a cool use instead of sending a physical attachment. So creating your bulletin, if you are satisfied with your content, you can scroll up to the top and say save and next. From here, it's going to bring us to this audience tab, which is where you will pick your topic or pick your subscribers that you're sending to. If I expand this blue dropdown, it will begin to open up the Parks and Recreation category, and then clicking that plus sign will open up the category to show me the topics. I could send this bulletin to a single topic, or I could send it to multiple topics if I wanted, if it made sense. So at this point, I could save my bulletin, and a coworker who has access to this topic could find this as a draft because I've saved it with a topic selected. So if you ever have a coworker who's not seeing a draft you created, maybe just double check that it's been saved at a point where recipients or subscribers were selected, a topic was selected, and then they should be able to see it as a draft. Moving down here a little bit, you do have the ability to apply criteria. So instead of sending your bulletin to the full topic, you can do some filtering here. You'll see things like that question for zip code. You can also do things like when a subscriber was added, so you could target new subscribers or old subscribers. You can also do things like send this bulletin to people who, you know, opened or did not open the last bulletin, and you can pick from the bulletins here. So criteria is kind of a neat way to filter or get a little creative with your sending, or you can just send to the full topic, which is probably what's normally done. Moving down here, we have the bulletin channels. So these are the ways which the bulletin goes out. Message visibility, the first one, is a toggle between public and private. And what this really means is, will a web page version of the bulletin be created? Normally, that should be left to public or set to public. So yes, a web page version will be created. It's going to allow people to click that link up at the top of the email that says, you know, having trouble viewing this, view it as a web page. And it will also be important for the text message if a text message is going out. So here you can see that text message field. What the subscriber would receive would be just kind of a brief standard template, Clark County, and then the subject line is a macro here that will automatically render or pull in the subject line, and then a macro for short URL, which will give them a link to click on to view the web page version of that bulletin. You can also have your bulletin posted to Facebook or Twitter if your Facebook or Twitter accounts have been connected to this GovDelivery account. That's something that an account administrator can do, is connect those accounts. So if you have Facebook and Twitter and want to connect them, you know, Zach and I can help with that right now. In the future, account administrators can help with that. So this is all under this audience step, you know, selecting your recipients and how your bulletin is going to go out. Most of the things down here, bulletin channels, you know, don't need to be changed, except if maybe you were posting to Facebook or Twitter. If we were to say save and next, we would be brought to the last step, which is a review and send. So it's just kind of doing a quick rundown of your bulletin. Here it's showing you the content. You know, you didn't have any placeholders or didn't have any unedited content blocks. It's showing you the subject line here. It's showing you which from address you have selected. If you saw something you wanted to modify, you could click edit and go back and modify that. Your audience selection is valid. That's great. Here is the send now button. Kind of follows that blue button style that we have throughout the software. And then we can also, of course, do things like send a test and preview our bulletin, delete it if you need to. You could save it, leave it as a draft if you like, come back the next day, you know, fresh set of eyes, or have a coworker look at it as a draft. If you want to schedule the bulletin, you can do that down here using this checkbox. And then you can see my send now button becomes a schedule button. If I uncheck that checkbox, it'll go back to send now. So using that checkbox and then picking from the calendar picker, you could have it go out on a Saturday and not, you know, log in. This send bulletin detail report, yes, no toggle, just means that you, as the administrator sending this email, sending this bulletin, would get an email version of this report sent to your inbox. Whether you want that or not, you should always come back into your bulletins and view the report in the account, because this send bulletin detail report is going to send to you about 4 hours after you hit the send button. And of course, those numbers could continue to go up much beyond four hours. So it's just kind of a brief snapshot of how your bulletin is being received initially, but you should always come back in once you've sent a bulletin. It would be under the Send tab here, and then you would have a button similar to this copy button that says View Report for that bulletin. And those numbers, again, will, you know, continue to go up for hours and days and beyond that first Send Bulletin Detail Report that comes into your inbox. So those are the main functions for group and topic administrators in GovDelivery. Uploading subscribers, working with the topics to which you're assigned, perhaps creating a new topic if you're a group administrator, working with the templates if you need to modify your templates or want to create a copy of a template and start a new one, and then the important thing, creating and sending bulletins to your topics. Does anyone have any questions or comments or need me to explain anything in further detail? I hope it made some sense, and I know we covered a lot, and so you might have questions that come up after the call or after you get administrative access. So at that time, we can schedule a follow-up or help answer any questions that you might have.
Cami, it looks pretty simple to use. I was wondering on the images, are there like a catalog of images that you're providing, or if we want to make some, we want to use images that are specific to our work, are we able to do that?
We are not providing any images, you know, except what's uploaded there already, but the images there that are there already have mostly come from like bulletin templates and things like that. So there are a few images in the account already, but they're related to templates. You're welcome, of course, to use those. But any additional images you guys would need to create and then upload to the account.
Okay. And then if someone unsubscribes, that automatically removes them from the list. It doesn't have to be done by the administrator, right?
You are correct. Yep. If somebody unsubscribes, so in the footer of an email, there will be links for recipients to unsubscribe if they, you know, have moved or are no longer interested in the information. They can do that themselves. Another nice thing about the software, kind of related to that, is if an email address goes bad, so maybe somebody works at a certain place, has their work email address in there, but then leaves employment there and their IT team shuts that email address down. If, you know, if the system sees a hard bounce email like that, it will remove it automatically, which is nice. So the list kind of, you know, self-maintains or does a little bit of maintenance on its own.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything
else?
Yeah,
it looks good. No, it looks good. I can't wait to test it out.
Great, great. Well, we will hopefully get you guys administrative access here in the near future. Just want to coordinate that, and that way you can hopefully log in while things are still, you know, sort of fresh in your head. I think I'll stop the recording now.